Christmas, everyone. Exciting time of the year. I mean, every time of the year is a good time to remember Jesus, but especially when we think about Jesus coming as a small child and as a baby, a Savior being born. And this story, at least for me, never gets old. We're going to be looking at a story that some of you know really well. Maybe for some, you'll learn a little bit more this morning. But sometimes our time around Christmas can look a little different, but we want to land on the same place. I remember when I was growing up in Connecticut, and my family moved to New Hampshire. We were in southern New Hampshire. I remember one Christmas Eve, which was kind of fun. My grandmother lived in Queens, in Flushing, down in the city. So we drove like 5.5-6 hours on Christmas Eve to be with her, and just a wonderful time spent with family. And at this time, my brother and my twin brother and my dad, we were all doing like a little paper route thing. And so we had all these newspapers that needed to be delivered on Christmas Eve, but we left on Christmas Eve morning. So we drove, I think we left Queens around like 11 o'clock at night. We got back to New Hampshire at like 4 or 5 in the morning on Christmas Day. And then we started delivering papers for an hour and a half, and like I'm so thankful no one was out because we were kind of on both sides of the road driving. You know, you would not want to be near the Holt van. But I remember we got home, I think at like 6 a.m. This is Christmas Day, and then we passed out. I think most of us woke up at like 4 p.m. That's when we started our Christmas Day as a family. And I remember I got this little video camera, and I wanted to see one of my parents snores a lot, so I thought this would be a great morning or afternoon to videotape that for evidence. So I did that on Christmas Day. So a little bit different. That's not my normal Christmas Day routine. But there always was a time on Christmas Day for the whole family when I was growing up that we would open the Bible and we would look at the story of Jesus and reflect on just the gift of Jesus. Even though, you know, you can live in different places, different people can be involved with your Christmas, but we still want to land on this story because it's one that brings life to us today and also for forever. So we've been in a series called Choosing Abundance, and last week Scott did an awesome message called Managing Immeasurability, which it was incredible. If you missed out on that, check it out online. Really awesome message. I really appreciate Scott. He's visiting with a family down in Rochester this weekend. But I wanted to go back to just our theme verse we have before we go into the story of Jesus' birth from the Matthew chapter 1 is where we'll be, and then we'll be in Luke chapter 1 as well. This morning, I entitled the message, God with Us. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah prophesied that there would be a virgin who would conceive a child through the Holy Spirit, and his name is going to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. I just love that, the proximity and closeness of God to us. For some this morning, maybe you're thinking, there's no God, and I'm just here checking things out, and you're in a place maybe of being open to wanting more. For others, maybe you think, there is a God, and he's really cool, but he's very distant from me. There's things I'm going through. It would be awesome to know that he's a lot closer. And for some, you're like, I know God is close, very close, and he's with you. And I want to focus on that piece this morning, how God is close with us. I want to look at Mary and Joseph, their response to obeying God in some really specific ways, which I just blow my mind when I think about it. But also for those this morning, maybe you're here and you're exploring, what does life look like in Jesus? We'll look at that as well. The theme verse for the series is John 10:10. It says, there's a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus says this, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. NIV says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And so it's pretty neat to see how Jesus came in such a humble beginning to offer us life, not just for me or for you, but for all humanity. So let's look at Matthew 1, verses 18 and 19. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, this is like a legal pledge to be married to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So this is a pretty, if you're looking at it, this is a pretty interesting piece. I was thinking of Joseph being in a place of finding out that essentially, like, you know, if we want to use our cultural expression, his fiance is pregnant and they haven't been together. And he's trying to think, like, what do I do now? He's thinking, being a just man is what the text said. He decided, I'm going to, you know, don't want to put her to shame. Not going to make this a public spectacle. I'm going to divorce her quietly. But Mary had encountered a messenger from God, an angel, Gabriel. And we'll see that in the text of Luke's recording, that it was an invitation that, Mary, you've been chosen to give the whole pregnancy process to God in a special way. And so Joseph is in a place right now where he's thinking, I'm going to divorce Mary quietly. And Mary, I mean, props to her. I can't imagine what she would be feeling right now having this conversation with Joseph. But before we continue this text, let's look at Luke 1, verses 26 to 37, because it's really neat the interaction that Mary has and her just quick obedience to the messenger Gabriel that God sent. So Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 37 says this, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her, and said, Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How would this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her." I just love Mary's response. Sometimes God can ask us to do things like, I don't know, help out a neighbor or maybe help serve in a practical way, be involved with a snack pack program, help out in a local soup kitchen. I don't know, whatever the Holy Spirit's prompting. But just, this is a big commitment, right, for Mary. It's not like I'm gonna show up and, you know, I'm going to help out with this two-hour ministry once a week, right? I've never been pregnant. I just want to get that out of the way. But I can't imagine, like, it's not like a half-hearted commitment, like, you know, what God is saying through Gabriel, this angel, to Mary. It's, you've been chosen, you've been highly favored among women, and God wants you to be, you know, the one that would literally be growing this child, the Savior of the world. I mean, that's a huge commitment. That's like a nine-month commitment, right? If you don't like a church you're going to, you can kind of get up and leave, right? It's just kind of like, well, I don't know about this, or I don't really like this ministry. But this is a huge commitment. And Mary, you see her kind of going back and forth to kind of understand, like, what exactly is going on. But her response, at least from the text, is she's really quick just to receive what God has for her. And I would say just a radical obedience to something that was huge, to be like, you're going to be, you know, pregnant with a child that's not from your husband, it's from the Holy Spirit. I mean, maybe she's thinking, man, that conversation is going to be awkward with Joseph. How to explain that one? But then also, you're going to give birth to the Savior, the one that everyone's been waiting for, the Messiah. That's going to be you, Mary. I just can't imagine what Mary would have been feeling. You won't see this in Scripture. It doesn't really talk a lot about, like, a ton about the pregnancy or a lot about Jesus as a child. You see little, like, verses and snippets here. As many of you know, my wife Crystal and I were, as of today, actually 18 weeks pregnant, which is really cool. And I love going on like this little app on my smartphone, which shows like just the whole like birth, like growth of the baby. So sometimes it's an avocado, and sometimes it's like a watermelon. I don't know. I didn't realize a baby was always a fruit, but I'm just learning as I go. but yeah, I think it's so cool. It's like, wow, Jesus, who's the creator of everything, he created planets and the stars, he created you and me, coming in such a humble form of not just like I'm showing up on the scene as like a young child or maybe like adult, but literally through the process that God created of like reproducing on this planet, it's like I'm coming in that humble way. I'm coming as a baby. I just think that's so cool that God would have that kind of humility to come in an order that was just so beautiful and fragile And it wasn't like immediate. He didn't just show up on the scene, maybe coming down out of the sky on a white horse or something. But yeah, it came as a form, as a child and a baby. And you see, you get to see the proximity. Obviously, Mary is going to be very close to Jesus in like a physical sense. We learn later in the Bible that when Jesus departed from this planet, he's like, hey, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit that my presence might be with you. And there will be a proximity of that closeness. But I often think of Mary and just wonder, wow, what was she thinking? What was going through her head? And so you see her obedience so quickly for something that was so unusual and so different, never happened before. It's not like God was going to Mary and saying, hey, you should build, you know, Ark 2.0 or something. You know, you see Noah do it. We're going to ask you to do something weird, you know, like that again. It's like, no, this is a first off, and it's a one-off. It won't happen before, it won't happen afterwards. The Savior's coming, and it's through you. And I really, really admire, look at her obedience so quickly. And I think also for us, when God's asking us to do things that look a little bit different, how do we respond to those kind of moments when God's asking us, hey, I want you to be part of my kingdom and growing and advancing that and receiving life and giving life and sharing Jesus? A lot of times it does look different than maybe how we would think. Now, I want to look at Joseph's response. And we're going to go back to Matthew 18 now. So I said, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. That's where he left it. And, I mean, it makes sense, like, why he's thinking this way. It's like, obviously, Mary, you must have been with some other man. But obviously, we just learned this wasn't another man. This is the Holy Spirit, and it's a miraculous conception. So we're going to continue in verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So here's another angel in the scene, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the prophet, to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. I love Joseph's response because it's really real. It's natural. He's trying to figure out, what do I do with this? But through a dream, as the angel speaking to him, as God speaking to him through this messenger, just the obedience of, yeah, what I was going to do is, you know, divorce Mary quietly, you know, just not make a spectacle, scene of it. But after hearing from God, just such a quick obedience and response. And I was really just, both Mary and Joseph, I think, are really good examples for those of us who call ourselves Christ followers. How do we respond when God's asking us to step out for him and do something that seems a bit uncomfortable? Because I can't imagine Joseph now having to have conversations maybe with family and friends about how Mary's pregnant, and it's not from him, and it's not from another guy, it's through the Holy Spirit. Maybe some folks would have been like, yeah, God's awesome. He's amazing. I'm with you, Joseph. Let's rally behind you. I'm guessing there's probably at least quite a few that might have been thinking, Joseph, like, man, like, your wife cheated on you and you're just trying to cover for her, or your fiance. Like, you lost your marbles. You know, you're not with it. Like, this is crazy. But yet you get to see Joseph is more interested and concerned about hearing the voice of God and obeying than he would about the cultural context of how can I just have a situation that wouldn't look so awkward. I think for us, sometimes we can struggle with that ourselves, where we might think, God, you're asking me to do this, but people might think it's kind of weird that I'm stepping out the way you asked me to do. Or God, you want me to help somebody in a way that might look radically different than the way most people do. But God, if I hear from you, and if I know it's from you, Lord, help me to have the faith to respond like Mary. Help me to respond like Joseph. I love how Emmanuel, that word's just so cool, God with us. We get to see obedience in Mary and Joseph, but we also get to see the proximity of God, that he loves each one of us. And Beverly, that was a fantastic Advent reflection. Crystal and I were just like, I'm just trying to keep back the tears, you know, I just get so emotional so quick. But it's so meaningful and powerful, but such a great depiction, I think, of God's love for us, that he would come through time into history, be born as a small child to restore a relationship that was broken on our end. He could have done the whole, I'm just going to pull out, You know, I made a world of people, and they just decided to rebel and follow sinful, broken patterns. I'm just going to keep the distance. God's perfect. He's completely independent. Even though God has great humility, he doesn't need you or me in any way. Completely separate. He can exist apart from us. He has existed apart from us. What we do on this planet for him is really neat, but very small, because God interacts with like millions of people or billions of people all around the planet at the same time. So small and compared to what God's doing, short and compared to eternity, but yet God wants to be close in an intimate relationship with you. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation before, and I'm guessing maybe some of us can relate, where you've ever been in like a really strained relationship, like maybe things have gone wrong with somebody you love or someone you knew, and it's strained, and you really want to see that resolve. I know in my life, I've been in those situations, and let me tell you, there's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's absolutely so cool. When God will do, I would use the word miraculous, but like resolve strained relationships that sometimes can go on for years with maybe friends or family, and then they're united again. What was once distant and far and broken and hurting and just like this like pain that wouldn't go away, and then having the resolution of like, wow, we're back. We're back and we're even better because we've given forgiveness, we accepted forgiveness, we share that with each other. And I was just thinking about that on a human level, but then I was thinking of God our Father on a heavenly level, how much he desires that each one on this planet would know his love in just a special way. Each person, man and woman on this planet, would know the proximity, that he's not just far off watching from a distance saying, I hope you make it on your own, and I know you can't, but he's come down 2,000 years ago as a child, paving the way and making the way that we can have a relationship with him. And as we've been looking in this series about Jesus bringing life and life abundantly, Jesus came as a child. He grew up. He grew in wisdom and knowledge of God, which essentially is himself. And he didn't sin at all. He lived a perfect life, a sinless life. Did nothing wrong. And he went to the cross to die for you and for me, for our sins, that we might be able to have life and life abundantly in him, that we might be able to join in with what he offers, which I think is so neat. And especially around this Christmas season, there's a lot of things going on. I really hope this season is really exciting for you, and you're just really pumped up and remembering Jesus and hanging out with family and friends. But I also realize there's some folks, maybe a good amount of folks, this isn't actually a great season. Maybe you're reflecting on folks who have passed away, or family-strained relationships that are still there figuring out those dynamics. Maybe you suspend it with a lot of people, and right now maybe you're by yourself. You're like, Christmas is just another day. And I want to encourage you that focusing in on who Jesus is and knowing who he is can bring hope, can bring love, it can bring joy and peace. That even though you might, I don't know what your Christmas is going to look like tomorrow, but even if say you spend it alone, maybe some of you are planning to do that, you don't have to spend it alone. That there is a God who loves you and cares about you and wants a relationship with you, that's decided, you know what, I'm going to actually fix and resolve the broken side of this relationship, which wasn't on his side. He wants to have that. And tonight we're having a special service. I know some of you might be able to come back. It's going to be different than this one. It's not, some people have asked me, is it the same service as this one? It's a one-hour service. But we're going to have an opportunity tonight where we have an invitation for those who maybe are exploring and wanting to know more about Jesus to come and have that relationship. That's not just a great story to talk about, but it's one to be embraced and one to share in. As I think I mentioned earlier, my wife and I would love for anybody who maybe you are spending Christmas by yourself, we would love to have anybody over at our house tomorrow from 6 to 8 p.m. Just to celebrate fellowship, hang out with you. But that's only from 6 to 8 p.m. You can hang out with Jesus all day long, you know. You can have a relationship with him all day long. And I know Jesus doesn't directly offer cookies, but he does offer life and life abundantly. So if you're comparatively, it's a lot. It's way better. Don't even compare cookies. Jesus offers something better. And I want to just, at this moment, in this time of season, I think it's great just to ask a couple of reflection questions, especially off this text. Where are you in relationship to God? How close are you to God? And I had a couple of thoughts. God is close to you. His name is Emmanuel, God with us, one of his names. A thought is, as we're just wrapping up, is how close are you to God? In your heart, soul, strength, and mind, is there an area of your life that maybe God's been knocking of the door of your heart in some way, and you've just been kind of keeping them at bay? My wife was telling me about a devotional story she was reading recently, which really stood with me. I was thinking, actually, about a house illustration, that if your life was a house and with many rooms, is there certain rooms in your life that you do not let God have entrance to? And then my wife, Crystal, was telling me about this devotional she was reading, and a lady who was working really hard, and someone was knocking on the door, and the lady's like, come on in, you know, just like, just come on in the room. The person keeps knocking louder. It's like, come on in, you know, and she's getting really, really frustrated. Person keeps knocking, and she's yelling to come in, but the person's not coming in, which would be a really frustrating scenario probably for most of us. But eventually, this lady goes over to the door and realized she had deadlocked twice this door. So she had this invitation in her heart, you know, giving a spiritual illustration. Yeah, come on in. I want you to know, but the door wasn't open. And sometimes we can do that with God. There's some place that's hurting and broken, and maybe we can tell God, Lord, I do want you to fix this area of my life. I do want you to be bringing that life and life abundant to this part of my life. But maybe we haven't unlocked those deadbolts. God never forces himself on anyone. He's not like a forceful kind of, I'm just going to break through this relationship problem and enter rooms in your heart that you don't allow him to. He stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. He wants to hang out with you. He wants to have a meal with you. He really wants to have a relationship with you. And so maybe there might be an area this morning you realize in your life, it's an area that's maybe darker and in the shadows, maybe doesn't have any LED light bulbs in it anymore. It's just dark. And God wants to bring life and hope and healing and places to our heart, soul, strength, and mind. God is close to you. How close are you to God? Another thing I was looking at Mary and Joseph, are you obedient to God's plans? Throughout the Bible, God's plans are way higher and way different than our plans, which is really good because our plans aren't always the best plans. And a lot of times they can be good, but they might not align with God's plans. But I love how Mary was just so obedient, and just from what we were just reading, it didn't seem like there was a huge time gap between what was being offered to her by the angel Gabriel and how she responded. I mean, that's a huge, huge responsibility to have a child and bear a child and then raise a child. That's not like a small 2-hour commitment. But you get to see her responses quick. You see Joseph struggling. At first, he doesn't know what's going on because he's heard it through Mary, but it's so different. He's like, I don't know what's going on. But then he hears it through an angel, through a dream, and he responds. Well, what does it look like when the Holy Spirit, God with us, in a close proximity, asks you to do something? What does your response time look like? Is it delayed? Does it get pushed off? Is it something that comes out maybe in a distant or not at all? Or is it, Lord, if this is from you, God, help me to have the faith and courage to step out. And maybe some of you have been looking for an opportunity to invite a friend or family member tonight to the service, but maybe it's just kind of like, Lord, I know the person to invite. I know the person that offer Jesus to. But maybe there's some other things, some priorities, fear, maybe just something else that's holding you back. I would just encourage you, invite God. If there's a place that you realize you haven't been obedient to his plans and purposes, ask for forgiveness. God, I want to be quick to respond. There's great joy you can have with just doing life with Jesus. And if you're here and sometimes you've been in places of being really close to Jesus, because he's always close to us, but being close to him, and then you're in a season right now, you're like, I just don't experience a lot of joy like I used to with the Lord. Sometimes, there are going to be a lot of reasons, but sometimes we're just not being obedient to what he's telling us to do. He's inviting us to do great things with him, but instead, if we say no, we really miss out on the joy of working and serving the Lord. So are you obedient to God's plans? If not, I encourage you, this is a great time to get back on track and obey the voice of the Lord once again. And lastly, I just want to ask, have you received God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ? It's wonderful to talk about a Savior coming, but if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, it's not just a story just for 2,000 years ago. It's a reality, a present reality for today. And if you're here and you're thinking, man, I still want to know more about God, or maybe feel the Holy Spirit just working on your heart in a special way, it's like, I would love to learn more about Jesus Christ. I would love to talk with you after the service. We'll have prayer teams up here, and I'd love to talk to you what that looks like. You don't have to go through life alone. There's no greater gift or treasure ever given, especially at the Christmas time, because sometimes for some you can give lots and lots of gifts. For others, you're like, I can't give lots of gifts. But no gift is greater than the gift of Jesus. And I want to just encourage you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to have an opportunity to just respond and reflect. And I'd love to talk with you. It's just simply just inviting and receiving the gift of salvation that Jesus has brought. So in a moment, we're going to have a time to respond with music and singing about the joy that Jesus has brought to this world. I'm going to invite the musicians up. But I'll have in a moment, I'm going to pray. But I want to leave a little space. We have space this morning, so I want to intentionally make a space for it. I wanted to hear from you. If there's ways that God's been speaking to you, there's Christmas season, that maybe you're like, I would love to share. Maybe there's some neat verse or scripture that God's put on your heart, insight of who he is. But we're going to have some time, actually, where you actually can share. How's God speaking to you? Maybe you came with a scripture on your heart to share or something from God. We're going to have some space for that. But let's take a moment to pray and to thank God for who he is. God, we just thank you for how wonderful you are. God, we thank you for the life that you bring. God, thank you for bringing a little life of baby Jesus. God, so many years ago. God, thank you that life isn't just back then, but a present reality, Lord. And God, I thank you for your nearness and your closeness, God. God, help us to know that you are near. God, I thank you for your promises that say you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us, Lord, that we wouldn't just hear about that, but that we would know you are near. God, I pray for those who are just struggling with wanting to be obedient to you. There's other people saying other things, and your voice is saying one thing. And God, I pray that we would be quick to respond, and we would have great joy in doing so. Lord, I pray for those here who are maybe exploring God or just seeing what Jesus is about, Lord. I pray, God, that they can know the love of Christ in just a powerful way this morning. God, that they are loved and created by and cared for and have a purpose in Jesus. Lord, I just thank you so much for each person here, God. It says you knit them together in their mother's womb. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. God, thank you, Lord, that there's no accident for each person here. But God, you have a purpose for each one, a purpose with you. And Lord, as we go to a time of just sharing, God, I pray that we can encourage one another, edify one another. God, build each other up. Lord, I pray that this Christmas Eve and Christmas will be one of great rejoicing in Jesus, that Lord, in the busyness of the season, with many other things going on, I pray that we would not lose you as our number one focus. God, thank you for not losing us as your focus either. God, thank you for your love. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.